Good afternoon. This is Use Your Words Author Speak, and I'm Elise, and we're also here with J.J. Amaro-Wilson, Keanu Wilson, and Richard Mahler, and Glenn Henderson is at the controls. Our show is sponsored by KURU, Gila Members Community Radio, 89.1 on your dial. Our program explores the literary landscape of southwestern New Mexico and beyond. And we usually interview writers from the Southwest, but today we're going to talk about books that we've read, that we loved in 2016, and books that we're looking forward to in 2017. And we're also going to talk about some authors that have passed away during this year that we miss. So we'll begin.
Well, hello, everybody. This is JJ here. Should we talk about those who have passed away first?
Yes.
What do you think?
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah. Well, I'd be very happy to start with a very great writer, Umberto Eco, the Italian writer. He was he's best known, of course, for The Name of the Rose. But actually, he was a scholar of medieval history and semiotics, which is the study of signs and symbols. He thought of himself as a weekend writer. Those were his words. And he only published 6 novels in his lifetime, but he published hundreds of papers and books and lots of academic work. So he's kind of an interesting character. He's an interesting character in other ways, actually. He smoked 60 a day. He had 50,000 books. When he was doing his thesis, he was living in Paris. And at some point, he decided he wanted to live as though he was in medieval times. And that's exactly what he did. He only ate the food that people ate in medieval times. He only walked certain streets that were around in medieval times. So he's quite a character, Umberto Eco. And the story of The Name of the Rose is kind of interesting too, I think. A friend of his wanted to publish a series of short sort of detective novels. And Eco said, okay, I'll write one of these. And of course, he didn't write a short detective novel. He wrote a 500-page Shaggy Dog story, which was a homage to Sherlock Holmes and Borges, and it was The Name of the Rose. And, of course, it went on to sell over 10 million copies. It was translated into dozens of languages. So he's quite a character, and he passed away this year. Mm. So that's one I wanted to mention. Would you like to take over?
Well, Harper Lee died this year, and she's famous for the one book that was published in the 50s, To Kill a Mockingbird. And she was noteworthy in that she never granted an interview, even though it was a bestseller. It was a groundbreaking book about race in the South, where she lived her whole life. And then very late in her life, I believe she was in her 90s, a manuscript was unearthed called Go Set a Watchman, and against her objection, because she didn't think it was a very good book, it was a prequel to Kill a Mockingbird. It was published. Reviews were not very good. And to me, it, I think one of the lessons we draw as authors from this is that if your work isn't very good and you don't think it should be published, people should listen to you.
Yeah.
And I also admired the fact that despite all the publicity and her famous friendship with Truman Capote, who is a person who modeled a character in To Kill a Mockingbird, she never dished. You know, she never really talked about her influences. She let her writing speak for itself, and I think that's also something that writers can draw from too. If you don't, if you feel like you have nothing to add to what you've written, why do a lot of interviews and talk about it?
Did she only publish that one book apart from Go Set a Watchman? She didn't publish anything else after To Kill a Mockingbird, did she, apart from that book?
No, and she obviously earned enough money that she could live on the royalties the rest of her life, which is enviable. You know, we all aspire to living on our royalties, and very few actually accomplish it.
I wonder if there's a lesson for some of us that we only have one good book in us. There's a terrifying thought.
It is a theory that stands up for some people.
Yeah.
But it is a good thought, too, that if we just have one book to give the world, I mean, wow, what a book it was. Yeah. And then that's good enough.
Yeah.
You know, that's good enough.
Yes.
It's a good movie, too.
An excellent film. Yeah.
Won an Academy Award, Gregory Peck. Robert Duvall is in it. And
I still haven't seen it. I must see it one day. Big gap in my cultural knowledge. I haven't seen it.
We forgive you immediately.
For 2017.
All right. My to-do.
Well, I researched W.P. Kinsella. The W.P. stands for William Patrick, by the way. And he wrote Shoeless Joe, the novel that became the basis for the 1989 movie Field of Dreams. And he wrote a lot of baseball short stories and poetry collections and several works of nonfiction. And he died on September 16, 2016. He was 81. He lived in British Columbia. He had a great affection for baseball. The title of Shoeless Joe was The Dream Field, but his editor wanted to change it. So that's interesting that it became something more like that when it was released as a film. When he, in 1997, he suffered a head injury after he was struck by a car. And 3 years later, the Canadian press reported he had no interest in writing fiction and spent his time playing Scrabble on the internet. And it took him 13 years before his published before he got back into it. And Butterfly Winter was published, released in 2011. He published 30 books of nonfiction, fiction, and poetry. And his editor said he was a somewhat edgy, unabashedly sentimental person. He had been writing ever since he was 14. He got his degree in the University of Victoria in 1974. He was a dedicated storyteller, performer, curmudgeon, irascible, and thank you, difficult man. She continued to speak of him. So it sounds like they had an interesting relationship, the editor and the...
Yeah. Do you know his work, Rico?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
Just from the film, you know, and that one one book. And the picture they show of him, he's kind of looking up. He does look like a wonderful character.
Right.
Yeah, he looks a very interesting person. Mm.
Well, another one I wanted to mention briefly was Eli Wiesel, very famous writer. The Nobel Committee described him as the messenger to mankind. And, of course, he had a very tragic life. I know, at least, you're reading one of his books, right?
Mm-hmm.
Reading Night. He was 15 when he was sent to Auschwitz with his family. Several of them died either there or in Buchenwald, one of the other concentration camps. And for years after the war, he refused to talk about it. He wouldn't talk about it. He wouldn't write about it until someone eventually persuaded him to write about it. And, of course, he was living in France, and he wrote La Nuit, which was later translated as Night. Are you reading it now? Are you read it?
Yes, I am. And when he published it in French, no one wanted to publish it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was not received well.
Right.
No, until it kind of was re-sent out again and in English as Night. It's a fascinating story, and he was in the camp with his father.
Yeah.
And
yep.
The two of them were there together.
And his father died in the camp, didn't he? Yeah.
Yes.
And I think he heard the screams, and it was a terribly tragic story.
And he still wanted and wished to help his father.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, in many ways, he was a very typical sort of European man of letters in many ways. He was a terrific essayist. He worked in universities most of his adult life. He was fluent in several languages. I know he spoke Yiddish, Hebrew, French, German, English. But in other ways, he really was a fighter for social justice. He didn't only talk and write about the Holocaust. He supported black South Africans during apartheid, for example. He wrote about the violence in Nicaragua many years later. And he really had this strong sense of right and wrong, which is what he wrote about. And also, I think one of his big themes is remembrance. He's got this lovely line, to forget the dead would be to kill them a second time. And so I think he really dedicated his life and work to remembering the sins of the past. And I just think he was a great man besides being a great writer.
I agree.
Do you know his work at all?
Just by reputation.
I
haven't read his work.
Yeah. I read Night years ago, and I found it very moving, very powerful. Just a
extremely
slim book. But
just a beautiful.
Who else wants to talk about a dead author?
Well, a couple of people who died this past year are not really thought of as authors, although they did have published work. One was Leonard Cohen, who's known more as a performer, a singer, a poet, a Canadian from Toronto, who went through a lot of evolution as a performer and as a songwriter. He had a reputation for working over and over again on his lyrics and spending a year or two just to write one song. He also was initially known as someone who became well known for the covers that were done of his poetic songs, and it was only later that he actually started performing and recording and becoming well known in his own right.
He began as a novelist, didn't he? Or he began as a fiction writer, I think.
Yes, he wrote some novels that were not well received. I tried to read one, and right. It was not well received by me. But right. He also spent the last part of his life in and out of Zen monasteries. He became an ordained Zen priest, and a lot of his later work is really influenced by his Buddhist practice, and in a sense, they're koans. They're, you know, these unanswerable puzzles that are just set to music. He actually performed in New Mexico only a couple of times, and I saw him in Santa Fe, and he was famous for really long concerts. He would go for 3 or 4 hours.
Really?
Gosh. And he had a very limited vocal range, and he played keyboard, and he played the guitar, but he made the most of the gifts that he had.
He was famous for being very gloomy, wasn't he? Or his music was gloomy. He was the man in black, right?
He was the man in black. His father was a haberdasher. He sold clothes, and so he was also known for wearing dark, a pork pie hat and dark, well-tailored suits and long coats.
Right, and he published a CD just a month before he passed away.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, we're going to take a very short break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with a few more authors and things we're looking forward to in 2017. Thanks for staying with us. Thanks for coming back to Use Your Words, Authors Speak. This is Elise, and I have J.J. Wilson here, Richard Mahler, and Kiana Wilson also. So we're just going to talk about a few more authors who have passed away in this year. And one of them was Pat Conroy, who I was just rereading this fall. He died from pancreatic cancer. And he was really famous for The Great Santini, I think, the most famous book that he ever read. He just recently published Death of Santini, which again was about his father and mother. And this is a quote from him. "I celebrated my 70th birthday in October and realized I've spent my whole writing life trying to find out who I am, and I don't believe I've even come close. It was in Beaufort, in sight of a river's sinuous turn and the movements of its dolphin-proud tides, that I began to discover myself and where my life began at 15. He was 30 years old when The Great Santini was published, and there were a lot of things in the book that referred to his family, which was quite abusive. He had a father who was a Marine pilot and didn't really understand about human beings, perhaps. And a mother who was very interesting, too. And he called his siblings. He said they were all casualties of war, a battle that we didn't sign up for. And so he spent time just trying to come to terms with that, and I really admire him for his honesty and his bravery in talking about his family. When he came out with that first book, he told no one in his family that it was going to be published. They had no idea what it was about.
Do you know how old that book is? Is it?
Let's see. If he came out when he was 30, died at 70, 40 years ago.
So 40 years ago.
In the 60s, he also wrote a book called The Water is Wide before that, about his work on a little island in, I think it's South Carolina, with a population where he was a teacher. And he tried to bring in great things to them, and he had a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. Of course, he was fired. You know,
right.
But,
I wonder why.
But it's a great book, and that was his beginning, you know. Mm-hmm. And he also published The Prince of Tides, which is a phenomenal book, I thought.
A couple other writers that passed away this year, Jim Harrison, who was from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and wrote often about that very kind of backwater part of the United States, the peninsula that kind of hangs over between Lake Superior and Lake Michigan. But he spent the last part of his life in southeastern Arizona in a ranch outside of Patagonia. He was also a screenwriter and a poet and an interesting character. Tom Hayden died this year, better known as a political activist, but also a writer, wrote the Port Huron statement that when he was a student at the University of Michigan kind of kicked off a lot of the protest of the 60s and political activism. But he also wrote quite a number of books. He wrote two memoirs, and one of the last books he wrote was a book about Cuba, and he spent some time in Cuba and kind of took an unusual perspective on the socialist experiment in Cuba.
Yeah, he was one of the original freedom writers, wasn't he? He was a freedom writer.
Yes, he was a freedom writer in the South. He was also one of the Chicago Eight that were on trial in Chicago after the 1968 Democratic Convention.
I think he was quite well known for being married to Jane Fonda for 17 years or something.
Yes,
quite a long time.
And apparently when she was very involved in videos and DVDs for exercise, she kind of underwrote a lot of his political activism. And of course, they met when the two of them went to North Vietnam during the Vietnam War and talked directly to the Viet Cong and Ho Chi Minh and so on.
Right.
Before I forget, I wanted to correct one thing. Leonard Cohen was from Montreal, not Toronto.
Montreal. I know Hayden's work from this book here, Writings for a Democratic Society, the Tom Hayden Reader. And it just has a lot of his collected stuff over several decades. And it's just wonderful. If any listeners are interested in Tom Hayden's work, I would start with that, Writings for a Democratic Society.
He was a good writer. You know, during the second half of his political career, he became a state legislator California, served representing the west side of Los Angeles County in the state Senate, and passed a lot of innovative legislation. Yeah. So he will be missed, too.
He put on a suit and a tie and got himself off the streets. A journey we all have to make at some point. Do we? I don't know. Maybe not.
You have to speak for yourself.
Exactly. No. There's one other I would like to talk about who passed away this year. His name is pretty much unknown. His name is Gregory Rabassa. The reason he's unknown is that he's a translator. And, of course, translators don't get the credit they deserve. But he was single-handedly very much responsible, in part, I would say, for the Latino boom of the second half of the 20th century, when all the big Latin American writers like Gabriel Garcia Marquez, Asturias, Mario Vargas Llosa, when they all became famous, it was largely because he translated all of their work. Because obviously the market for books in Spanish is limited. But if you translate it into English, it gets sold all over the world. And Rabassa is best known for translating Marquez, particularly 100 Years of Solitude, Marquez's great masterpiece. He won pretty much every prize going for a translator. So I just wanted to mention him. Yeah.
I'm glad. And Edward Albee also passed away. He was a playwright. He wrote Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf in 1962. And William Trevor, we also lost him. He was 88, an Irish playwright, short story writer, novelist. So those are the... there's just a few people that... Lisa Leonard Cook was a woman from Albuquerque who came to the Southwest Writers Festival and gave a workshop at our last festival. She passed away this year. She was a writer, wrote a book on memoir that I read. And then we have Jim Kelly, too, that we wanted to just honor for
another local writer.
A local writer. He had a column, newspaper column, that was syndicated for years. It was actually him that had the idea of the local Poet Laureate program. Of course, Elise, you are the Poet Laureate, so your position owes a lot to Jim, mm-hmm. Who actually had the idea in the first place. He was also instrumental in setting up the Southwest Festival of the Written Word, which we're all a part. So Jim was really a man of ideas, but I think he'll be remembered as just being a wonderful, warm, kind, funny human being. You know, he always had a glint in his eye. He always had a smile. You know, he's just a great guy.
He did. He did.
We'll miss him. We'll really miss him.
Very much so.
This has been quite a gloomy, sad show so far, hasn't it? Should we talk about some good books we've read this year or something?
By writers that are still alive.
By writers that are still alive, yeah. Now, we do have Keanu here, Keanu Wilson, my 8-year-old son, and he's read lots and lots of children's books. And Keanu, would you like to tell us about one of your favorite kids' books this year?
Well, I've read the third Paddington book.
Oh, yeah?
And one of my favorite chapters there is when he makes a mess of dumplings.
Okay.
And then another one is Cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah.
It's a mystery in Mesa Verde National Park.
Excellent. Okay. You're quite a reader, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Yeah. Okay, so there's a couple of children's books. An old one, Paddington, and a slightly newer one, Cliffhanger. What about anyone else?
I'll mention one fiction and one nonfiction book that I read this year that I really liked. The fiction was the latest from Kate Atkinson, who's a fiction writer from Scotland. A God in Ruins is kind of an anti-war book. And what I like about Kate Atkinson is she does very creative things with time and character and moving in and out of flashbacks, flash forwards, etc. She's a very entertaining writer. And a nonfiction book, since I'm interested in nature, a book came out by a zoologist named Roland Keyes, or Kays rather, K-A-Y-S. He's a zoologist from North Carolina. And he wrote a book called Candid Creatures, and it's all about what we're learning from camera traps that are used all over the world. These are cameras that are set off by motion and body heat, and the world of science is really finding out a lot of stuff about the animal world by putting cameras out and letting animals walk by them and perform and do whatever they do. It's a coffee table book that's full of hundreds of interesting pictures.
Say the author's name again. Who's it?
Roland Keyes, K-A-Y-S.
Oh, okay. Wow. I've got a few books I want to mention. I read some great books this year. In terms of fiction, I really liked Sharman Apt Russell's Knocking on Heaven's Door, a science fiction a novel, which won an award.
Right. And I have to mention Damnificados, which I loved, which I read this year,
which also
won the New Mexico Arizona Book Award.
Oh, my, thank you. Yes. Yeah, Sharman and I both. Well, Sharman won the science fiction category, the New Mexico Arizona Book Award, and my novel, Damnificados, won the fiction category.
So wonderful.
Yeah. A couple of other books that I've read, a novel called Scrapper by Matt Bell, which is set in Detroit. It's about a guy who goes searching for scrap metal in all the ruins, and it's just wonderfully written. Not a particularly cheery book. It's not beach reading, but if you want something well written, it's fantastic. And do I have time just to mention a few other titles? Okay, a book by Angela Davis, a very well-known activist, a great book called Freedom is a Constant Struggle, Ferguson, Palestine, and the Foundations of a Movement. Just an excellent book of essays, interviews. On a similar vein, a book by Kianga Yamata Taylor called From Black Lives Matter to Black Liberation. Again, a wonderful book talking about race relations in the United States. It goes all the way back to slavery, through the civil rights movement, through the current pipeline, school to prison, the dreadful things that are happening in the United States to the African-American community. And finally, a book called France Fanon, The Militant Philosopher of Third World Revolution. This is by Leo Zeilig. Excellent book on one of the great figures of revolutionary struggle, France Fanon. It looks at his time in Algeria, where he sort of helped foment the rebellion against French rule in Algeria. Sorry, I'm hogging far too much time with these books. No, I do apologize.
It's great. We have to say farewell, however, and to all the books that we're looking forward in 2017. Well, we'll just have to wait and see. But thank you very much for listening today. We will see you in 2 weeks. There's a book sale tomorrow on Market Street if you're interested on December 10th. And thank you for listening to Use Your Words.
Adios.
Bye.